This is Fantasy Book Club.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Book Club. This is the Internet's Book Club, and just by listening, you're a member. My name is Colton Pratt.
And I am Sydney Lyerly.
And this is week two of Oathbringer? Yes, Oathbringer by Brandon Sanderson.
It was a book we're reading.
I just kind of panicked a little bit. I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh. We're also week two of recording online. And right now, I have no camera, so Colton can't see me.
So we're going to try and read the vibes and see how it goes. Forgive us if there's any audio issues or anything. We're online. We're doing our best to make sure everything works. It should all be good this week, but we're going to do our best. But give us a little bit of leniency, okay?
Yeah.
Sydney, what are you reading this week?
This week, we read chapters 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. So 10 through 17. And you better have those read.
Oh, yeah, better. I don't know. You'll find out at the end what will happen if you didn't, but... What are we going to read next week, Sydney?
Next week, we're reading chapters 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26. Chapters 8, 13 through 26.
So make sure you have those read before next week. We'll remind you again at the end of the episode. All right. Also, are you ready? Oh, go ahead.
One of these chapters next week is called Blackthorn, which I bet we can guess who that's about.
Yeah, it's actually called Blackthorn Unleashed is the full title.
I can't see all of it, but
ooh.
The only part I could see was Blackthorn.
it's still pretty exciting. Let's see what happens.
Ooh, well, I guess we'll find out next week.
Yeah, not this week. Are you ready to go?
I am ready to go, actually. Yeah.
Let's get it. I'm first this week with chapter 10, and chapter 10 is titled Distractions. And the little book bit says, "Perhaps my heresy stretches back to those days in my childhood where these ideas began." From Oathbringer, preface.
Whoa.
It's funny to me that this is the first time we've been reading book bits from the book that's the same title as the book we're reading.
Nuh-uh. We read Words of Radiance and Way of Kings.
Yeah, but in the book, did we see book bits from them?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind then.
I know we did. I'm pretty sure we did for both.
Oh, maybe I'm crazy.
I'm pretty confident we had at least one. And I think both of them.
But I just was thinking about, because this is not saying this quote and they say, "Where's that from?" Your response has to be from Oathbringer, and then a pause to consider, do I say chapter 10 or do I say Oathbringer preface? Because they both would be technically true.
You're right.
So it's interesting to me.
You know what'd be hilarious?
What?
Is if he made a preface like at the beginning and these words were buried in it. Oh, there is a preface.
So he like pulled this from the actual that'd be funny.
Anyway, I'm reading the preface right now while you talk.
You're reading the I can't tell if you are or not, but please don't.
I am, actually.
This is a Kaladin chapter. He's running along the hills. He's trying to preserve his stormlight as best he can. So he's like jumping off the top of the hill and like kind of lashing himself upwards until he lands on the next hill. So he's trying to like preserve as much stormlight as he can. And he's talking to Syl because that's the only person he has to talk to right now.
Yeah, basically.
And if you don't remember, he's just tracking down where the Parshmen turned Parshendi were said to be going. He's trying to like go in that direction and track them down. He's talking to Syl about motherhood and how she wants to be a mother, but she doesn't know how motherhood works. It's a fun conversation. They're just being cute. If you want to read it, go read it. It's cute.
We love Syl.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Tell me in depth why.
Because she's fun and she's cute. And I imagine she's very pretty because she can make herself look like whatever. And also, I love Syl. And I would like to have a little Syl just floating by my shoulder all the time.
Oh, yeah. I would be down to bond a friend.
Wouldn't that be so fun?
Give me a pattern, you know? I think I would be so frustrated with pattern. Not understanding like common things would kind of bug me, I think.
I don't know. It'd be so fun to have a little bestie who gets to hang out with me all the time.
That's fair. That would be good. It's kind of like having a parrot in my brain.
Except smarter?
Yeah.
And also can turn into a sword for you, which would also be pretty sick.
Yeah, that's true. Don't swing your parrots, everybody. Listeners, don't swing your parrots.
They won't turn into a sword. That's not how parrots work.
Yeah,
they might be able to talk to you, but they won't be able to turn into a sword or a spear or any other kind of weapon.
That's very true.
Don't use them to try and stab people.
Anyway, Kaladin runs up to one of the towns that had the Parshendi, Parshmen people taken, like leave, basically a town affected that left. And this is the first town that had a quote unquote attack. Everywhere else he's visited, the Parshendi just kind of left after they became Parshendi.
Yeah.
Here, a few people got injured because they tried to stop the Parshendi from stealing a bunch of grain from the grain storages. And there's an Ardent there who clearly has a pretty big crush on Kaladin, even though she's conflicted about it, which I find very funny.
It is kind of funny.
She also is bad at art, and Kaladin doesn't know how to say, like, that's a bad drawing you've done. So he just kind of like looks at it and like pretends like it helped, which I kind of appreciate him for, I guess. Like, that's it's kind of nice of him, I guess. But
yeah, kind of.
I can't tell if it's nice or mean. It kind of is right in the middle of, in his brain he's mean, but physically he's being nice.
Yeah.
Then Syl tries to ship Kaladin with a bunch of people, and Syl does some like Shaladin Kalon shipping for a minute, saying that you and that Light Weaver would be pretty good together.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No, I don't support this, so stop it.
Not anymore, you mean?
I never supported this.
Shaladalin.
This entire time. And I support them, and we'll find this out more later. I'm excited.
Yes. But then Kaladin runs off after where they say the parchment went. And then the chapter switches, and it's Adolin. And Adolin is out there, out in like their like podunk field they set up in Urithiru for Gallant, who, if you don't remember, Gallant is Dalinar's Rashadium, which are the massive horses that will only let you ride if they've like accepted you as their what's even the term for that, for as their rider?
I guess. Yeah, I'd say probably as their rider.
So that they won't let you ride them otherwise. And so he's like talking to Gallant. And if you don't remember, his Rashadium died. It was killed by a lightning strike.
Pure blood done died.
But Gallant is like, he's talking to Gallant and he's apologizing for his dad because his dad is like having trouble finding time to get out to ride Gallant.
Yeah. Which is fair. They're in a giant tower. How would that even work?
Hey, that's true. I think there's like, they've set up fields on the ground level is what it seems like. So maybe outside. But like Gallant gets his whole big field where all the other farm animals are like in little pens.
Yeah. Gallant's special.
Well, yeah, he's like a Rashadium.
I want a Rashadium. Where do I get one?
Shinovar. You need to go over to Shinovar.
All right. Time to teleport. One. Bye.
Bye. Go to the Oath Gates.
Okay.
Man, we sound like mega nerds.
I'm not sure there's one in Indiana.
Yeah, that's not the center of anything. Indiana does not deserve an Oath Gate, to be honest.
It's the crossroads of America, apparently.
No.
That's what their sign says when you cross into Indiana.
It's the place where everybody wants to drive through. No one stays here. Everyone just goes through and picks somewhere else, somewhere more interesting to go. You get here and you decide where is more interesting, which direction you want to drive.
The entirety of the Midwest.
Yeah, to be honest, yeah. At least Ohio has a great lake. We have a great lake. That's pretty fun.
We also have Cedar Point.
Yeah, we have some fun things. Indiana's nothing. It's a rectangle. Anyway.
With a little fun pattern at the bottom.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, Renarin shows up out in the fields too. And Renarin and Adolin, like, basically, it's very cute. Renarin's awkward, and Adolin, like, in his head is like, people don't understand him. He's just too smart. He's so smart and cool. And I appreciate Adolin for being so nice to his brother.
Adolin's a good brother, I think.
Really, he is. And then Renarin, like, gives some of his anxieties to Adolin, basically saying, I am one of the first Radiants. What if I screw it up? And Adolin's very kind to him, saying, you're not going to. You're going to be awesome. And then Renarin heals him. heals his wrist. So now we know one of Renarin's powers is the regrowth one.
Yeah.
He has one of the powers the same as Lift does, the one that can heal people, other people.
We also get to see Renarin's sharp blade, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah. How is it described?
It's described as thin with almost no crossguard. It has waving folds to the metal like it had been forged.
Hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
That is very cool. Anyway, yeah. Renard's also saying basically, you have to give that sharp blade you gave me away. Because it screams in my head. So he came out to also tell Adolin to like find somebody else to be a shard bearer. I can't carry that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is really random, but I need to share this. So as we're sitting here, right, I look at Adolin's name and I just thought about, like, you know how you said that I said that Adolin's a good brother. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the fact that Adolin has really grown on me the more we've read these books. And right. I'm sitting here thinking about the fact of how crazy it is, how attached we get to these characters. And they're not real. But I'm sitting here looking at their names on a page. I don't even know what they would actually fully look like. I have my image of what he would look like, but that's not what Adolin actually, like, truly would look like.
Have you picked
my image of him? But also, I was thinking about how much they've, like, changed over the course of the books and how just wild it is that books can do that. Like, that we can get so attached to these fictional characters, which is pretty cool. It was a really random thing I was thinking of and I wanted to share with everybody.
Yeah, in your brain, Ada looks like Taylor John Smith, according to our last wrap-up episode.
Sure.
I don't know who that is, but that's who you said he looks like.
That's funny. Also, another really random thing that I noticed, Colton, that I think you'll think is funny.
What?
On this computer that I am using to record this, there is two files that are titled Book Club Reading Time.
That's me.
And I just thought that is funny. And that was all. I just thought that would be humorous.
It made me laugh. Made me chuckle. Very humorous. Yeah.
Thank you. I try my best. Okay, alrighty. Everyone. Chapter 11. I don't get a book bit because we are 33 years ago. So, yay. So we're with Dalinar, obviously, 33 years ago. He's the oldest character, main character that we have. So that'd be wild.
Good observation, Sydney. Born yet. You're in a mood today, Sydney.
I'm up 6 a.m. It is now 9:15.
That's so funny. Anyway.
A.m., not a.m.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're with Dalinar, and he's like got a lot of energy because he's got some shard plate. He killed a shard bearer and got himself some shard plate. So that's pretty cool.
Well, killed. He pushed a guy off a cliff, but.
Well, technically he killed him. He got the shard plate. So he got the shard plate and he's really excited. And he, Sidious, and Gavilar are about to go kill some people as they do. They're about to go fight. They're trying to get. We basically learned that Gavilar is trying to say that the House Colin and himself need to rule the entirety of Alethkar. And that's why they're fighting like this.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get like the High Princes to basically listen to him and do what he says. And so they're killing them, which is not the way to go, really.
If they don't submit, they get killed.
Yeah. And also, basically, yeah.
Sadius also brings up that Dalinar, basically he says like to Dalinar, would you get married for a political alliance? And Dalinar just says, whatever my brother wants of me, I'll do. And because in his head, he thinks because he's already taken the woman I really wanted. So if he forces me to marry somebody else, I'll marry whatever's best for the like growth of our kingdom, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. And so right now they are trying to get Brightlord Tanalan to like commit to them. And Tanalan is a shard bearer. And so Dalinar's like, he's mine. I'm getting that blade. Yeah, he's like, I'm getting that blade. And Sidious is like, well, it might be mine. So they're kind of like almost whoever gets there first fighting over this blade. And
friendly, though.
Yeah, like friendly fight, not like actually trying to kill each other. They're not to that point yet in their lives.
That comes later.
It comes later. Just like Dalinar getting Navani. That also comes later.
Comes later, yeah.
So they start, they go into this fight and there's like rocks being like thrown at them with catapults. it's kind of crazy.
Dramatic fight, and, for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty dramatic. Down on this place that they're at, it's called the Rift because there's like this giant rift through it, giant crack through it. So
it's kind of like if a town was built into like the Grand Canyon kind of thing. It's a giant crack in the ground with a city built into the crack and like bridges running across and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea.
It is a cool concept. But they're fighting, they're doing their thing, you know. The Bright Lord hasn't shown up yet. Dalinar is just killing a bunch of people, you know, doing his thing. He's just crushing everyone in front of him with
being the Blackthorn.
Absolutely no guilt attached to it.
None.
Doing his thing. And eventually he finds Tanalan and like chases after him, and they have this kind of like wild chase, and they Dalinar like falls through a ceiling. And scares the crap out of a family, which also would be scary. Like, can you imagine you're just sitting down to dinner and all of a sudden a dude in shard plate falls through your ceiling?
Well, because so Tanalan set a trap where a big portion of the ground at the top level of the city was just cut off and dropped into the city to try and kill them. But he didn't tell his people who lived beneath that he was going to do that.
Yeah.
He just crashes through like people's homes that are currently being lived in and stuff.
That's kind of crappy.
It's very crappy.
But anyways, Dalinar starts just like beating the crap out of Tanalan because Tanalan has his blade, but Dalinar has plate. And in the end, Dalinar with just plate is stronger than Tanalan with just blade.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's able to like basically beat the crap out of Tanalan. And Tanalan falls, and Dalinar, like before he can like really kill him, Tanalan's soldiers like grab him and like drag him away, Tanalan.
It's and, like a secret passage area.
Yeah. And Dalinar follows and comes to this room where Tanalan's wife and his 6-year-old son or 7-year-old son, 6 or 7-year-old son are staying over their father, crying, obviously upset because he's dying. And the 6-year-old son is holding his father's shard blade, because his father is dead now, is holding his father's shard blade and says to Dalinar, "You can't have my daddy. You can't. You. Daddy said, we fight monsters, and with faith, we will win." And then we skip forward, and Dalinar is sitting on the edge of the rift with his new shard blade.
Ew, that's not great, is it?
So, a 6-year-old. And I don't have any words. When I was reading this, I think I reread like this section multiple times because I was like, there's no way I'm misreading it. There's no way. I don't believe it. I love Dalinar, but also right now I hate him.
Modern Dalinar is pretty chill.
Modern Dalinar is good, but I'm having a hard time forgiving him right about now, even though we know modern Dalinar is a good guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad. Anyways.
Past Dalinar's got some issues, I think.
Yeah. So he's sitting there with his shard blade, and Gavilar comes over and is like, "Oh, congrats, you know, Sidious is upset it wasn't his, but, you know, congrats, you got your blade." Mm-hmm. And they're just, like, chatting, and Gavilar is like, Sidious is right about other things too, you know, about us and what we're going to have to become. And basically he's implying we are like, why are we really fighting? Like, Gavilar's the one who's telling Dalinar to fight. And so it's kind of on him, but he's kind of just like, we're doing these things, but I'm not really sure this is the right thing to be doing. Like, he's kind of like backing out on his decisions. And they're just kind of like having a moment of maybe this isn't right. Also, Gavilar is now a father. We know that Yasna was just born.
Yasna.
So him being a father is really making him wonder if what he's doing is the right thing.
And it seems, okay, the war conquest thing is definitely not great, for sure.
Not great.
The unification of a nation, though, I can see that as being like passed off as a good thing. The like kill everyone in your way kind of thing is Dalinar, modern Dalinar, is interpreting the visions that Gavilar also saw and taking them in a much more positive way, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. But we also, as the chapter ends, kind of learn that we knew that Dalinar's sword was called Oathbringer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of funny. but we also learned that it was the Sunmaker's old sword. So the Sunmaker was the one who like originally united Ilethkar. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Dalinar had that. And then it just kind of ends. Dalinar rams his shard blade into the ground and it ends with saying, he closes his eyes again and remembering the sound of a brave boy crying.
Ugh.
Really brutal way to end the chapter.
Oh man, it's hard to like him in that one.
Yeah. It's pretty painful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like no part of old Dalinar.
Yeah, young Dalinar.
Sorry, that's what I meant. Young Dalinar. I meant old isn't like past Dalinar.
That's true. Saying the old me and the young me are the same person.
Yeah, basically.
Huh. Neat. Anyway.
Huh, neat.
That's the end of her chapter. Now it's my chapter. It's 12 negotiations. And here's what I'm going to say about this chapter is the book bit says this. I ask not that you forgive me, nor that you even understand. From Oathbringer preface. Now I'm going to tell you about this chapter. This is a Dalinar chapter, modern Dalinar.
Yes, better Dalinar.
And he, from Eurythiru, throughout this chapter, has just a couple meetings, essentially. And so we get a lot of dialogue in this chapter where he's over span read trying to convince world leaders to come and visit Eurythiru.
Yes.
And really, that's the majority of what happens. So he starts with like the Azish, who are the people that the new prime just got put in. Thanks to Lyft, who we just saw. Hello?
Gox?
Yes, Gox.
Name of.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. I thought you were trying to stop me for some reason. yeah.
No.
And so Gox is like, they're trying to maintain a positive thing, a positive relationship with Dalinar, while also not committing to actually doing anything to help or like talk too much to him, if that makes sense. Yeah. So they're like, being very evasive with they won't come visit, but they're like, yeah, no, they're writing contracts with us. And Dalinar goes, wait, they can write? And they immediately were like, our mistake, we must have misspoken, translation was wrong, because they realized they gave away too much in that telling Dalinar that they could, that the people around them can write and make contracts.
Voidbringers.
Yeah,
it's interesting because yeah, they're basically implying that the Voidbringers are like trying to like negotiate with them, which is interesting because that's basically what the Parshendi did with the Alethi, mm-hmm. like with Gavilar. And so it's interesting that that's kind of happening again in a way.
Yeah, but these are not regular Parsh. These are Parshmen who have become Parshendi.
Yeah.
And one thing interesting that we see throughout this is the Alethi Parshmen turned Parshendi are all just kind of walking in a direction.
Yeah.
The Azish Parshmen turned Parshendi are making contracts, and the Thalin Parshmen turned Parshendi stole a bunch of boats and sailed off with them.
Yes.
So each of the Parshmen Parshendi cultures seem to kind of be copying the people around them in the way that they act, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah, because
like being involved with each other.
The boater people are the Thalens, and the Thalen Parshmen stole the boats. The contract people are the Azish, and the Azish Parshendi are doing the contracts, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Azish give Dalinar a thing saying the Oathgate doesn't work, and then write like an affidavit proving that it doesn't work. Although it doesn't actually prove anything. And then he has a quick discussion with a lady named Queen Fen, who is being remarkably unqueenly. But Navani says that's a good thing, because when she's being natural and like talking normally, it means she's not in like her queen mode. And
yeah,
she is basically like, Dalinar, the world is ending. You are the Blackthorn. I am not letting you come. I'm not opening a portal where you can teleport an army into the middle of my city. You're the warlord, the guy, murderer, man. I'm not going to, you're crazy to think I would do that. My city is broken and busted. I can't have time for meetings right now.
Yes. Honestly, That's so fair, though, that she would, like, refuse him to do that. Because, as we've obviously seen, he probably doesn't have the best reputation from his past. And for fair reasons. Yeah. I also would not let this man, I don't care how good he's become now, I would don't know that I would let this man, who I know him from these rumors I've heard of him murdering people, I also would not let him into my city through a portal that goes into the middle of my city.
Right.
Would not let that happen.
He's the Blackthorn. Like, that's the thing about this is, when I say this a lot in these books, because one, the Blackthorn's such a cool name, and two, as you'll see throughout, the Blackthorn was a very powerful murder man, as you've seen so far.
Yeah.
But that does not help him in his political attempts, because he's the Blackthorn, and he will kill your son for a blade, you know?
Well, he might not anymore, but he would in the past.
He has that capacity very easily and very clearly.
But they also don't necessarily know that he won't do that anymore.
Yes.
But they could still think that he would do that still.
His reputation is firmly set as the Blackthorn.
Yes.
And then the queen stops responding.
Logs off.
And then the king, Elikar, shows up. And Elikar, Elikar's such a funny little guy. He shows up and immediately, like, tries to swear fealty, like, give up the kinghood to Dalinar. And Dalinar's like, don't do it, boy. And eventually, through talking, they convince Elikar, you're going to be king of Alethkar. And Elikar's like, I don't want to rule over you. And so basically, Elikar says, here, you're king of the Shattered Plains and you're a Theru, and you will go through me if you need anything in Alethkar. I am the king of Alethkar. Which, this setup I like a lot better. So yeah, Elikar can stop being a whiny baby.
You're right. But also, he still has the chance to rule. And he kind of, like, immediately takes over and, like, actually does some good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And Elikar decides he's going to go on a mission. He's going to, when Kaladin comes back, they're going to go on a mission to intrude into Alethkar, because there's still riots and the queen is being weird. And, like, the Spanreads aren't replying from Alethkar anymore. From Kolinar.
Yeah, from Kolinar.
And so basically he's saying, when Kaladin gets back, we'll sneak you in. And then Elikar gets really into that. He's super excited. He starts planning. And it actually kind of made me like Elikar a little bit.
I agree. He seems, like, very happy and, like, excited to do this thing. Like, now that he's got a task that he feels like he can accomplish, he seems very, like, less whiny baby and more like, yes, I can do this thing.
Right.
And I like that.
Good job, Elikar.
Like, he still cares a lot about his people.
Right.
He just didn't know how to handle that. And now he's given a task that he can actually try and accomplish.
Some big man growth he got going on. And then the chapter ends with a Spanreed basically saying, oh, I'd love to visit. It'd be so great to have me in here and see you, Dalinar. And who is it?
Our favorite person, Taravangian. Yay!
The man known for being, according to Dalinar, dull of mind, you know, just a kindly old man, wouldn't do anything wrong, Taravangian. Oh, boy. He has accepted the invitation to come to Urothiru. So how exciting!
The last sentence of this chapter says, if Dalinar failed everywhere else, at least he would have King Taravangian at his side. No, you don't want that.
He doesn't know that,
but you don't want it.
Yep. So Taravangian's here now.
Yay. Anyway,
excited. End of my chapter.
Okay, my chapter. Woo! Chapter 13, which is called Chaperone. This is a great chapter.
Right?
Okay. The book bit says, I ask only that you read or listen to these words. From Oathbringer, preface. So we're with Shallan, and she's breathing out Stormlight, and she's just become, she's got, like, her own room in Sabariel's, like, section of Urithiru. And she has just become Vale, and she's, like, trying to practice becoming Vale without having to look at her drawings beforehand. So she's doing pretty decently, but it's not perfect. There's still a few mistakes. There's still, like, things that are just not quite right. She's trying to work on the voice of Vale, and she's just trying to perfect it. And she's right. planning on going out tonight, like, and walking through Yirithiru as Vale.
Right.
But that gets her attempt to do this gets sidetracked because someone knocks on her little door. Well, she doesn't have a door. She's got like a little curtain, but someone knocks on the wall and she's like, come in. And it's Adolin who walks in and her safe hand is on, like, is bare. She's not wearing much. And she's like, no, get out. But Adolin, as she changes into something more acceptable, Adolin is sitting outside and they're just kind of chatting. He's brought her food, which is really sweet because Polona, Sibario's mistress, told Adolin that she hadn't eaten. Shallan hadn't eaten yet. And Adolin also has not eaten yet. Mm. And so they're going to have a little meal together.
Side thing.
What?
Love Polona. From her description in this chapter, Polona. She's so sweet and like cares about Shallan so much.
Yeah.
Love Polona.
I agree. I like her a lot. But they're chatting. Shallan finally gets dressed and Adolin comes in and he's like all happy and Shallan's happy. And it's just very cute. Like, he literally is just like, he's being very sweet to her and like very like kind. And it's clearly he really, really likes her. And Shallan sees that. Like, she's like, wow, I look frazzled right now and I look like a mess. But he still thinks I'm pretty and he still like wants to hang out with her. And he also like brought food. And it's just,
he brought her food. What more could a woman ask for? Right, Sydney?
Though, if a man brought me food in bed, heck yeah. Like, she didn't have a sitting room or anything. So they just like sit on the floor and like eat. And they just have a very cute little like date. It's really cute. It's really sweet.
But she also, she needs to have a chaperone.
Yeah. They're supposed to technically have a chaperone. And as they're sitting there like thinking about this, also, Shallan keeps thinking about how she's killed her mother and her father. Which is kind of putting a dampener on the mood, which is not great, but
because she had to admit that the other day.
Yeah. Initially. And so, but as she's sitting there, she's like, oh, we need a chaperone. And so she calls Pattern to be the chaperone and in the Pattern. And they just have a fun little like interaction. It's kind of funny. But then Pattern is like, what is a chaperone? And Shallan says,
can we read this part?
Yes, absolutely we can.
Okay, here it goes.
Anyway, Shallan said, Pattern, you're to be our chaperone tonight.
What, Pattern said with a hum, is a chaperone?
That is someone who watches two young people when they are together to make certain they don't do anything inappropriate.
Inappropriate, Pattern said, such as dividing by zero?
What? Shallan asked, looking to Adolin, who shrugged. Look, just keep an eye on us. It will be all right. Pattern hummed, melting down into his two-dimensional form and taking up residence on the side of a bowl. He seemed content there, like a Kremlin snuggled into its crack. Unable to wait any longer, Shallan dug into her meal. Adolin settled down across from her and attacked his own food. For a time, Shallan ignored her pain and savored the moment. Good food, good company, the setting sun casting ruby and topaz light across the mountains and into the room. She felt like drawing this scene, but knew it was the type of moment she couldn't capture on a page. It wasn't about content or composition, but the pleasure of living. The trick of happiness wasn't in freezing every momentary pleasure and clinging to each other, but ensuring one's life would produce many future moments to anticipate. Adolin, after finishing an entire plate of Strana Haspers steamed in the shell, picked out a few chunks of pork from a creamy red curry, then put them on a plate and handed them in her direction.
Want to try a bite?
Shallan made a gagging noise.
Come on, he said, wagging the plate. It's delicious.
It would burn my lips off, Adolin Colin, Shallan said. Don't think I didn't notice you picking the absolute spiciest concoction Polona sent. Men's food is dreadful. How can you taste anything beneath all that spice?
Keeps it from being bland, Adolin said, stabbing one of the chunks and popping it into his mouth. There's nobody here but us. You can try it.
She eyed it, remembering the times as a child when she'd sneaked tastes of men's food, though not this specific dish.
Pattern buzzed. Is this the inappropriate thing I'm supposed to stop you from doing?
No, Shallan said, and Pattern settled back down. Perhaps a chaperone, she thought, who believes basically everything I tell him isn't going to be the most effective. Still, with a sigh, she grabbed a chunk of the pork and some flatbread. She had left Yakoved hunting new experiences after all. She tried a bite and was given immediate reason to regret her decisions in life. Eyes brimming with tears, she scrambled for the cup of water Adolin, insufferably, had picked up to hand towards her. She gulped that down, though it didn't seem to do anything. She followed it by wiping her tongue with a napkin. In the most feminine way possible, of course. I hate you, she said, drinking his water next. Adolin chuckled.
Oh, Hattern said, suddenly bursting up from the bowl to hover in the air. You were talking about mating. I'm to make sure you don't accidentally mate, as mating is forbidden by human society until you have first performed appropriate rituals. Yes. Dictates of custom require following certain patterns before you copulate. I've been studying this.
Oh, Stormfather, Shallan said, covering her eyes with her free hand. A few shamesprint even peeked in for a glimpse before vanishing. Twice in 1 week.
Very well, you two, Pattern said. No mating, he hummed to himself, as if pleased, then sank down onto a plate.
I love it. I love Pattern. That's so funny.
Pattern is so cute. I like Pattern a lot. That was a long one, but that's a very cute interaction they had together. Yeah.
This entire chapter might be one of my favorite chapters so far. It's so cute.
If not a little concerning for Shallan, at least what comes up next chapter with her.
Well, yeah.
A little concerning, but...
Anyways, Adolin and Shallan just continue to chat, and apparently Adolin has brought some books for Shallan because some of them, they're about Makabaki that he's had them read to him and he thinks that she would enjoy them, which is so sweet that I love it. Adolin is doing his best and I'm a huge fan of this. It's very sweet. But anyways, as they're chatting, Adolin's I figured if we're going to move forward with this, this relationship, and Shallan's like, why wouldn't we? You're not leaving me, right?
Yeah.
No, but you're a radiant, Shallan. You're so much more powerful than I am. You have a higher status than I do now. And basically, and he's like, he says, I keep worrying that I'm going to screw this up somehow. And Shallan's like, hey, I feel the same way. And they just kind of discuss about how bad Aelin's been with dating and just all of this. Shallan tells him about Capsule and how Capsule tried to kill her. And it's just, they have a very cute conversation about all of their struggles with relationships and how nothing's worked out and how maybe that's a sign that it means that they're meant to be together. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of ends with they're about kiss and then Pattern, of course.
No mating!
And I think that's hilarious. But the ending is Shallan says, neither of us is going to mess this up, despite what might at times seem like our best efforts otherwise. And Adolin says, promise? And Shallan says, I promise. Let's look at this notebook of yours and see what it says about our murderer. Because Adolin has reports from the the people he talked to, but not the murderer.
The murderer.
I think that whole chapter is adorable and I love their interactions, and it's so sweet. Also, solving a murder mystery with your significant other sounds like so much fun.
I got a text from Sydney at this point when she was reading that said, I want to solve a murder with my boyfriend, which sounds, I guess a good time.
Fun. Can you imagine they make those little case file things
that
you can solve? Whenever I find myself a man, I am going to make him sit down with me and solve one of those.
Fair enough. Okay.
He Let's better expect likes it.
Yeah.
Future husband, if you're listening to this and we haven't done this yet, what are you doing?
Yeah. I'll get you a pattern chaperone while you guys do this, just to make sure no mating happens.
Chaperone while we solve a murder.
Yep. All right. You ready for the next chapter?
Yes, I am.
Kaladin has finally found the, first it's called Squires Can't Capture, and the book bit says, "In this record, I hold nothing back. I will try not to shy away from difficult topics or paint myself in a dishonestly heroic light." Then.
Good for you, Yasna.
Kaladin is finally, good for you. You think Yasna wrote that book. It really threw me off because I was like, what is she talking about? But I understand now. I thought you just saw Yasna in this chapter, and I'm pretty sure she's not here yet, right? Anyway.
Yasna is here.
Yeah. Anyway. Kaladin has found the parchment who ran away from that city, and it's raining. He's in a tree watching them. Like, there's a bunch of tents and stuff, and he's kind of just watching. And he sees the two of them, a man and a woman, playing like cards and trying to figure out how the card game works. That's where the title Squires Can't Capture comes from, because that's part of one of the rules of the game. And one thing really actually interesting they say is this. So you're saying you don't know how to play the game after all? And the man says, I should know, Ken. How many times did I watch them play? Standing there with my tray of drinks. I should be an expert at this, shouldn't I? And that's kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, a lot of the parchment stuff that we see coming up, very sad.
It is very sad.
It's like genuinely like mind ripped from them kind of thing. But then there was suddenly a shrill voice, Kaladin watching them, hear the shrill voice saying, alarm, alarm, you fools. He's there. You're being watched beneath those shrubs. And then Kaladin gets found. But instead of fighting back, he kind of just puts his hands out to the side and lets them get captured. He says, I surrender. And then the chapter ends.
Yeah. And then we have this little like possessed drawing on the next page.
What the heck is this thing? What's going on here? It's freaky looking.
Possessed drawings, Colin. I was just like flipping the book and I accidentally flipped to a page with the most possessed drawing I think I've ever seen in my life. And I am terrified to get to this. It's right before chapter 25.
Okay, let me
find
it.
And I am scared. This thing is awful. It is like nightmares. I can't wait for you to see it.
Okay, I'm way too far forward.
I actually think I might have nightmares tonight. It's so bad. The book flipped to chapter 25, and there's just a possessed drawing of some horse heads, and I'm terrified.
That's pretty freaky, isn't it?
I accidentally flipped to that, and I about peed myself.
Well, we'll get to talk about it next week. Next week, we're going there. So
yeah, and I'm just scared. It's awful. Oh, I hate it.
So here's like, describe this possessed drawing.
This possessed drawing, the one that we're actually on?
Yeah.
So it's just some like scribbles in a creepy doorway with like a black hole.
Yeah, it looks like
that's
a weird
hole. I can explain it.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Thanks, I tried.
All right.
My turn.
Your turn.
Chapter 15, which is called Brightness Radiant. So the book bit says, I will express only direct, even brutal truth. You must know what I have done and what those actions cost me. From Oathbringer, preface.
Yeah.
So we're with Shallan and Adolin again, and they're sitting there chatting about this murder. And Shallan's like, it has to be the same murderer. It's the same exact murder, basically. Same hallway, same position, same death, everything. It has to be the same. And Adolin's like, no. I don't think so. And obviously we know that it's not, because we know that Adolin killed Sadeas. But
yeah,
Shallan is like, he's just like fixed on this one thing, because she doesn't realize, obviously, that Adolin killed one of them and not the other.
Yeah.
But Adolin is trying to convince her that it could possibly be two. And they're just trying to make, you know, they saw the murder of the first one happen, and they're trying to like make it look like the same person killed this person.
Right.
But they're just, you know, chatting about it, and then all of a sudden Adolin is like, hey, by the way, there's something else like I want to talk to you about. And Shallan for a moment panics. She's like, oh crap, he's gonna break up with me, even though they just promised each other that they were gonna make this work. So that would be really brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But Adolin is like, you have a shard blade, which is kind of weird because women don't get them. But I'm trying to be open-minded, and it's okay. It's fine. Like, I'm accepting this, that you have one.
Mm-hmm.
So let me teach you how to use mm-hmm. it. And Shallan's like, oh, no. Like, panicking. Like, she can't. But she's trying to play it off as she can. And so Adolin gets up and is like, I'm going to go grab the blade guards, and like runs out of the room. And right. Shallan stands up and is like, this is bad. This is bad. And Pattern's like, this is good. And Shallan's like, no, I can't do this. I can't hold that sword, Pattern. Like, I can't do it. And she then decides, I need to be someone else. And honestly, in this chapter, Shallan kind of comes off as schizophrenic. Because she basically becomes somebody else.
Whose name?
And has like two personalities.
Well, count them. Who does she have?
Well, she's got herself, obviously.
Shallan.
She has Vale. And now she's got Brightness Radiant.
So not two, but...
three.
So Shallan... And when she's pretending to be Radiant, Shallan refers to herself as Shallan. And whenever it says... it's whenever it would be like she says a line... it would say, basically, I shall settle, Radiant said. And you can also tell her speech patterns are completely different now. Now she talks very formally, and it's frankly weird.
It is weird. She's basically become a different person. So she...
concerning, for sure.
Makes this drawing of herself, but kind of in what she would want, like Yasna. She makes herself, but like as Yasna, in a way. And so she does this drawing, and then she kind of morphs herself into that. So it still looks like her, but using her Stormlight, she is able to change like little things. Like not bigger enough boobs. For like it to be. Yeah, she does give herself bigger boobs, which is kind of funny.
That's the only really big thing of note that's addressed. Is that bigger boobs.
Great. Thank you, Brandon Sanderson, for pointing that out. But basically, like she changes herself enough that like she feels it, but Adolin can't tell. And so he comes in and starts like showing her how to use this blade, and they're like training and it's good. But she, like Colton said, is referring to herself as Radiant. Radiant said like she's thinking of herself as someone else completely. And Shallan is a totally separate person, but she's able to like, she's acting like kind of formal, like too formal. And so she's able to like kind of use part of her Shallan personality to make Adolin think that, yes, she's serious about this training, but also it's still Shallan.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really weird. And Adolin just talks about how you need to respect your blade, like, all of this and stuff, you know. And they're training, they're doing different stances. Like, Adolin's basically just teaching her the basics on how to stand without falling over and, you know, all those things. And Shallan is, like, or I guess Radiant, is getting it pretty quickly. Like, Shallan thinks, she thinks, that would not have been a difficult test for Shallan. Radiant, however, preferred not to feel things she hadn't considered in depth beforehand. And so it's just, it's interesting to see how, like, they're, like, Shallan, they're, like, almost two separate people, but not. Like, it's really weird. And, you know, they're practicing, and eventually Adolin's like, hey, you know, really good job. And, honestly, that's basically where it ends, is Adolin leaves after the little training session, and Shallan goes to bed, and she actually sleeps really well because she's thinking about Adolin and just about how happy Adolin makes her. And it's cute, but it's also really just concerning that she just can do that.
Right. It's cute. It's definitely scary.
Yeah.
Not, a little bit uncomfy.
Yeah, not great that she just pretends to be someone else. My thing is, I cannot wait for the moment when I know it's going to happen. They're both going to find out that the other has killed someone else. And it's going to be a great moment, because they're going to realize that, hey, we've both made mistakes. And that's okay.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Really great. And then, like, I really think what's going to happen is Adolin and Shallan, one of them first is going to find out what the other one did. Mm-hmm. And they're going to, like, then the other one's going to say something. And it's just going to be, like, this moment where now they can talk to each other about it, because they've both did this thing and they regret it.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I think it's going to make them closer. Like, I think they're both worried it's going to, like, ruin everything for each other, but I think it's going to make them closer.
I like that theory. That makes me happy.
Thank you. It makes me happy too. And so if I'm wrong, I'm going to cry.
Oh, okay. Cry then.
Lore Master?
Mark that theory. You ready for my chapter?
Yep.
It's chapter 16. It's called Wrapped Three Times. And the book bit says, "For in this comes the lesson," from Oathbringer Preface. So the chapter starts with Dalinar, and he is in like the sewers of Yuerthiru, kinda. And where it's because that's where he's hidden the Zeth's honor blade, the one that gives you the powers of a windrunner.
Yeah.
Because he was thinking about how he might be able to use it to like sneak into a city and unlock an oath gate just like on his own with it. If, because it gives you powers of a windrunner, and if it lets him work a oath gate with it, then he can just like sneak in on his own and kind of do it, you know?
Yeah.
And he talks to the Stormfather, and the Stormfather's trying to tell, like, explain some stuff and tells him, like, "I am not God. Do not try and compare me to honor. I am to honor what your shadow is to you," that kind of a thing.
Yes.
So I'm not all seeing anything like that. And then that conversation ends, and Dalinar goes and finds Bridge 13 guards, and one of them is weirdly sassy to him today.
Yeah, it's a really bizarre interaction these two have, honestly. I was very confused.
Mm-hmm. It's weird and unnecessary, but it made me laugh when I read it, so I guess it works. It really doesn't like do anything to the story, but it makes me laugh, this little interaction.
Oh my gosh, real fast.
Yeah.
Speaking of like laughing while you're reading, I should have mentioned this last chapter, or I guess the chapter before, but when you were reading that chapter with Adolin and Shallan, I was reading it and I was sitting there with my roommate, and I'm reading it, right, you know, just quietly, and I'm like smiling so hard, and I was like, if she looks over right now, she's gonna see me smiling at a book, and I'm gonna look like an idiot. That's all. I just wanted to share that real quick.
Funny. Listener, you don't care. Which roommate's still there?
Well, neither. It's one of my teammates.
Oh, new roommate. Okay, never mind then.
Just okay. My current roommate at the moment.
That's funny. Moving on. Dalinar goes to like the dueling ground area they'd set up in Yuerthiru because he wants to duel. And the Ardent who's working there at the moment goes off to find him somebody. But while he's looking, Dalinar finds his general's like youngest son. And,
real quick.
Yes.
It's funny because he gets there and expects the swordmasters, who are technically Ardents, but they're like also swordmasters, to fight him. But they refuse to because they all don't like him right now because he married Navani. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. And they're still pretty mad at him. Also, he's kind of a heretic and stuff, so it's kind of weird. It's a weird setup he has still. And so Dalinar gets to wrestling. and he wrestles with this much younger man. And his name's Aratin, something like that. And Dalinar does his best to get put in the fight, but he ultimately ends up losing.
He gets
pinned right around when Navani shows up. And first, Aratin immediately, like, they say, good fight. And then he goes off to celebrate because even though Dalinar is like 50 something, it's the Blackthorn. So
I mean, fair enough, honestly.
It's like me, if me right now pinned Hulk Hogan, even though Hulk Hogan is very old at the moment, or relatively compared to me, much older.
Yeah.
It's still Hulk Hogan, you know?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, fair enough.
Yeah. And then Navani shows up on the dueling grounds, which is makes people uncomfortable a little bit, but Navani is good at making people uncomfortable. She doesn't really care, to be honest, it seems.
I strive to be Navani.
Yeah, me too. I like Navani.
I like her a lot.
And Navani says that they have a meeting with the Irialli queen, because the Irialli have several queens. They're also not super important, but they're kind of important, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So Dalinar says, well, they're not going to be able to see me. Set up here. And he forces her to set up the span reed in the dueling grounds. And then the Ardent, who's very mad at him, one of his old friends, right? Kadash, is that the one?
Yeah. Who he used to be in his elite when he was younger.
Yes. Kadash is one of Dalinar's elites who is sickened by something that Dalinar did. And he said it was the Rift. So it could have been the 6-year-old. Do you think it's the 6-year-old kill?
I noticed that, but I don't... I don't know that it is. I think something else happens later.
Okay.
But I did notice that it was the rift, but I didn't know exactly what that meant.
Yeah. So Kadash, Dalinar gives him the sword. Kadash says, I'd rather not. And Dalinar says, tough, you're my property. Come fight me. And so that I appreciate seeing that side of Dalinar. Then Dalinar has the... Dalinar converses with this queen. The queen is very, very angry at him and calls him a thief a bunch and stuff and refuses to acknowledge him because she says he stole the shard plate that he got through marriage and stuff. It's a whole thing. But during this conversation with the queen, he's also talking to Kadash and having like a theological discussion.
Yeah.
Which I found very interesting because it's how do you know God is God? Well, because he is, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But then there's this one little thing that one little story that Dalinar says that I like. It's in response to Kadash saying that tradition is important. Can I do a little reading of Dalinar's story?
Yeah, go for it.
Here it goes. Dalinar shook his head. Back when I was young, our branch of the Colan family didn't have grand monasteries and beautiful practice grounds. My father found a teacher for me from two towns over. His name was Harth. Young fellow, not a true swordmaster, but good enough. He was very focused on proper procedure and wouldn't let me train until I learned how to put on a takama the right way. Dalinar gestured at the takama shirt he was wearing. He wouldn't have stood for me fighting like this. You put on the skirt, then the overshirt, then you wrap your cloth belt around yourself three times and tie it. I always found that annoying. The belt was too tight, wrapped three times. You had to pull it hard to get enough slack to tie the knot. The first time I ever went to duel at the neighboring town, I felt like an idiot. Everyone else had long drooping belt ends at the front of their takamas. I asked Harth why we did it differently. He said it was the right way, the true way. So when my travels took me to Harth's hometown, I searched out his master, a master who had trained with the Ardents and Kolinar. He insisted that this was the right way to tie a takama, as he learned from his master. By now, they'd drawn an even larger crowd. Kadash frowned. And the point? I found my master's master's master in Kolinar after we captured it, Dalinar said. The ancient, wizened Ardent was eating curry and flatbread, completely uncaring of who ruled the city. I asked him, why tie your belt three times when everyone else thinks you should do it twice? The old man laughed and stood up. I was shocked to see that he was terribly short. If I only tie it twice, he exclaimed, the ends hang down so low I trip. The chamber fell silent. Nearby, one soldier chuckled, but quickly cut himself off. None of the Ardents seemed amused. I love tradition, Dalinar said to Kadash. I fought for tradition. I make my men follow the codes. I uphold Vorin virtues. But merely being tradition does not make something worthy, Kadash. We can't just assume that because something is old, it is right. And you know what? I love that.
Yeah, it's kind of a good point, and also just kind of a fun little story he tells.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good point. I wish I had a version of that story from me right now, because that's the kind of thing that bugs me is tradition for tradition's sake. It's like, is there a reason, or is it just because it's what we've always done, you know?
Yeah.
And so I appreciate him for that. That story is a good like representation of that. But now Dalinar fights some more. He finishes his conversations with the queen lady who wouldn't be helpful. And then Navani says, she's after Adolin Sharblade. How valid is her claim? Navani says, not very. You got that through marriage and to a light eyes from Mira, not Eerie. Yes, the Eriali claimed that their sister nation as a vassal, but even if the claims weren't disputed, the queen doesn't have any actual relation to Evie or her brother. And Dalinar starts talking, and then he suddenly goes, wait, say that again. She says, what? Evie? And then Dalinar can suddenly remember his first wife.
Yeah.
He can suddenly hear her name.
I was pronouncing it as Evie in my head.
One or the other, Evie or Evie.
But yeah, that he can hear his wife's name and remember her face. So, of course, that would happen right as he got married.
Yeah.
Here's my theory about why this is, okay? I 100% think it's connected to the fact that he just got remarried. And so, I wonder if part of, like, his curse is that he would forget her, completely forget her, until he found someone else. And that is part of his curse, because now he's being forced to remember her again as he's like finding love again. So basically, once he found love and got remarried, part of his curse is now you couldn't remember her when all this happened. You can no longer remember her. But now I'm forcing you to remember it because you're falling in love with somebody else and you're with somebody else now. That's my theory.
I like it.
Thank you.
I like that theory.
But I do think that it's connected to the fact that he just married Navani. Mm-hmm. It seems like too much of a coincidence to me.
I agree. I agree with you on that. Alrighty. Last chapter. You want to get into it?
Yes, I do.
Woo!
Chapter 17, Trapped in Shadows. The little book bit says, "It is not a lesson I claim to be able to teach. Experience herself is the great teacher, and you must seek her directly." From Oathbringer, preface. So that's we're with Kaladin. Story. What?
That's a cute little title thing.
Yeah. Little line.
Mm-hmm.
So we're with Kaladin, and he's currently bound to a tree. Of course, he can get out if he needs to. He's got a shard blade. But he's not. He's just kind of sitting, listening to the parchment talk, and they're discussing whether they should kill him or not. So that's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just, you know, chatting, doing their thing. And Kaladin all of a sudden like starts telling the one guard who's the guy that was trying to play cards before that, hey, you can play that card. You could capture the card. Like, and he explains like kind of the rules of the game. So that's kind of fun. But they're chatting about cards and all this. And Kaladin tries to say, I understand what you guys have been through to some extent, because look at my head. I'm a slave. Like, he's got the slave brands. I was a slave. Like, you know, this is what happened to me. I tried to escape. I understand what it feels like to run, to be on the run. Because that's basically what the parchment are. They're on the run because they're scared what happened to them before is going to happen to them again, which is really sad.
It is very sad.
But they just chat, and the parchment's like, you don't understand. Like, yes, your freedom was taken from you, but at least you could still remember what was going on. Your mind was still there. You didn't have the freedom. We lost our freedom, but also lost our minds and our memory, and we were just there. And it's really sad.
Yeah. Like,
it's very sad. And the guy leaves, and Syl's acting really strange. Syl comes over and she's acting really strange, very giggly, and Kaladin is a little worried at first. Yeah, he's concerned. He's worried at first. But she tells him, I'm acting like this because I'm trying to pretend to be a wind spren. Because there is another spren around, but it's a void spren. The void spren is leading the parchment. And they're a little bit worried about that. And I feel like fair reason. I think, here's my theory. You want to hear a theory?
Yes.
My theory is the void spren is leading the parchment to the Parshendi.
Okay.
To like the scary red eyes people.
Yeah.
The actual void bringers. I don't think the parchment are actually void bringers until they get to the Parshendi. And then whatever happens with them happens.
Okay.
So I think the void spren is leading them to them. But yeah, that's my theory.
I like your theory. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
Market theory master, lore keeper, lore master. Whatever,
it's like 20 different
whatever the title I've given you is, I forget, but whatever it is, market.
Lore, I think. But anyways, Syl kind of goes off a little bit, enough, like close enough that Kaladin can summon her if need be, but far enough it doesn't look like she's talking to him, because some of the parchment can also see her, so that's kind of weird.
Parchment seem to be able to see like spren better than regular men can, it seems.
Yeah. And then Kaladin tries talking to them again and is like trying to explain, I can help you. Like, you guys being in a big group is not good. Like, it's not going to be helpful. Like, it's, you don't want to be in a big group. If you get caught, you're all screwed. But if you get caught in a small group, you'll be a little bit better off. Like, you can pretend that you're being sent someplace, like, by your light eyes. Like, no one's going to know. But when you're all in one group of, like, 70, they're going to know something's up, right? And you guys aren't going to be able to defend yourself, so you're screwed.
Yeah.
And he's trying to just, like, explain, like, all these things that need to, like, be done. And they're just ignoring him, basically. And he cuts his ropes off his arms and stands up and walks over. And they're all, like, pointing, like, things at him and they're like, we're going to fight you, you know. And he's like, look, I'm going to help you make a fire. Like, I'm going to help you. Your grain, with it being wet, is going to get rotten and you're not going to be able to eat it and you're going to starve. So let me help you survive, basically, is what Kaladin does. And they're fine. They go, fine. And they give him his spear back and he starts just cutting at he has a rock bed shell that's supposed to like burn. And he starts working to build a fire with wet wood. And that's what he does. And that's where the chapter ends.
Yeah. It's a very short little chapter, but I find myself liking those people.
I feel really bad for the parchment. There is one section, I don't remember where, but this section during my chapter, I didn't read it and I wish I had. So I'm going to read it now.
I'm glad, Cindy. I'm glad you pieced that together.
It's very sad, though, so beware. One of the parchmen, when he's talking with Kaladin about being a slave and the difference between a human slave and a parchment slave, he says, I have spent my entire life living in a fog, every day knowing I should say something, do something to stop this. Every night, clutching my daughter, wondering why the world seems to move around us in the light while we are trapped in shadows. They sold her mother, because she had birthed a healthy child, which made her good breeding stock. And that is awful. And I feel so bad for them because this dude's got a daughter and he knows that he has a daughter and he knows that he loves her, but he can't like really express that or think it or like any of that. Like, they know something is wrong, but they can't express it fully or fully like understand it. And it's so sad. And now that they're back, like they understand that and are trying to get away. They're not trying. They stole the grain and like attacked people, not because they were trying to like attack them, but because they need the food and also because they just need to get away. And I feel so bad for them.
Yeah. This chapter does a good job at making you think, oh crap, maybe they're not actually bad guys kind of thing, you know, which I like. Yeah. That's a cool thing. It makes us think. Alrighty. Hey, Sydney.
Yeah.
You have any other theories that you want to talk about before it's time?
No.
Okay. In that case, it's time to
rank the characters.
All right. Sydney, who did we see this week?
This week we saw Kaladin, Adolin, Syl, Renarin, Dalinar, Sadeas, Gavilar, Tanalan, Thaka, Taleb, Kadash, the Stormfather, Kalami, Yanagon, Aladar, May Aladar, Navani, just lost my spot, Tashav, Kal, Queen Fen, Elokar, Taravangian, Shallan, Pattern, Saw, Ken, Yixli, Ryle, Kelleran, Zahail, Ayrton, Kal, Rembrandor, Tan, and Vi.
And our ranking for this week, we have Kaladin, Sylphrena, Adolin, Shallan, Dalinar, Renarin.
Shallana.
Dalinar, Renarin, Pattern, Elokar, Navani. Those all make sense to me. I don't think I need to explain those in that order. Then we have Aladar and May Aladar, who are fine, followed by Zahail, who's nice. Then all the parchments, because we actually really like the parchments. So Saw, Ken, Yixili, Ryle, Tan, and Vi. Then the Stormfather. Then we have Ereton Kal, Remembranor, Thaka, and Taleb. Because we don't really know who they are. Kalami, Yanagon are the same way. Teshuv, we don't really know. Queen Fen, I feel like should be higher, but she's down here because, frankly, I forgot to move her up. So she's here now forever and ever. Then we have Kelerand, who I don't remember. Then at the bottom of Living Tier, we have Kadash because he's kind of a butthole. But like, we don't want him dead, you know? But who we do want dead is Taravangian. And who is already dead, we have is Tanalan, Gavilar, and Sadeas in that order descending. Now, for the top five and bottom five, Sydney, who did we see top five last week?
Last week's top five was Kaladin, Navani, Adolin, Shallan, and Dalinar. And last week's bottom five was Rishon, Ashonai, Sadeas, Gavilar, and Amaram.
Okay. Well, who's this week top five and bottom five?
Oh, I'm reading it? Usually you read it.
You're right. I forgot. But do you want me to do it? You care.
You can read.
Okay, I'll do it. This week's top five is mostly the same. We have Kaladin, Adolin, Shallan, Navani, and Dalinar. So the only change is Navani got kicked out by Adolin and Shallan. In the bottom five, a few things have changed. We have Kadash on the bottom because we don't want him really dead, but he's really being hard to get along with. Then Taravangian because he makes sense. Then we have Sadeas, Gavilar, and Amaram, staying exactly as you would expect and hope that they would stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Not the
best.
That's
all I have to say.
Not the best, for sure. But, you know,
they're just doing their thing, you know?
They're being the worst, but it's hard. Yeah, no, they suck. I'm trying to defend these people, but they just are. I don't like them.
They can't. You can't defend them. There's no defending them.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to say our thank you. Sydney, who do we thank first?
We thank you guys.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, we thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We really do. Mm-hmm. And also we thank Alesia for the creation of our intro and outro music. That's Alezeia on Spotify.
And that song is called.
I memorized that because I haven't said it in a hot minute. Usually Colton does, and so I panicked for a second inside, but I nailed it. So
you nailed it. And that song is called Windrunner Remake. Is the song that we use. Yep. We'd also like to say, make sure you read for next week, Cindy. What are they going to read?
Yeah, next week, make sure you read chapters 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26. So 18 through 26.
And if you don't have those read by the beginning, by next Wednesday, Sydney is going to not only kill you, but also your son. It's going to be bad. So you better make sure you have those read.
It's a brutal one this week.
Yeah.
It's not just like me throwing a chair out a window. It's you murdering your family.
Yeah, so better read because you don't want that.
Oh, no.
All right. Thank you all so much for listening. Yeah, make sure you have them read. I'm Colton Pratt.
And I'm Cindy Lyerly.
I love you.
Peace.
Why are you still here? The show's over.